Throw the best birthday party ever that your child will always talk about. Big Air Trampoline Park inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall can do just that. Award-winning birthday party packages start at just $300, and all birthday parties include pizza, drinks, a party room with a party host, grip socks, printed invitations, and all 40 attractions at Big Air Trampoline Park. It's a birthday party you and your kids will never forget. Book your party today. Big Air Columbus, where the fun never ends. Visit bigairusa.com/Columbus for details.
We already have now, I think it's 13 at least states that have reached the 70% goal already in June. And if they get further and further, they'll be more and more protected. And if you look at the map, you'll see there are some regions that are well below 50%, which is really unfortunate because those are the states and the areas that are going to be most vulnerable if, in fact, there is a potential for a surge as we get into the fall.
This is the Trevor Carey Show. On the Valley's Power Talk.
Global pandemics will be solved by a global solution. You cannot live in a vacuum in this world. We're an interconnected world, particularly when you're dealing with a highly transmissible respiratory virus. We are doing well in getting people vaccinated, as we just mentioned, of infection in other parts of the world. There's always the danger, if not the inevitable threat, that there are going to be variants that will come. Fortunately for us, we've done very, very well with our vaccines, with the variants that are currently circulating. But there certainly is a possibility that there will be the emergence of a variant that would elude the protection of a vaccine.
That's Fake Mass Fauci on NBC, still getting credibility, still being asked serious questions, and he still gives answers. Oh, it is a global solution. You heard him talking about herd immunity, or as they're now calling it, community immunity. It's now only being referenced under the banner of vaccinated. What about the 3.8 million cases in California that recovered? Sure, some of those might be grouped in with the vaccinated. Could be. Early on, the CDC estimated the actual case numbers to be, the documented case numbers, to be 10 times that documented total. They've since revised that down to 3 times the amount, meaning a symptomatic case that never got tested. And now they have the antibody in their system. So if we use the CDC evaluation, California has 3.8 million cases that have recovered. So if we use the CDC evaluations, we multiply that by 3, that's 11.4 million with the antibody. And you're just not going to factor that in? That's 29.2% of the population. As of Friday, 54.6% of California were vaccinated. 11% had one dose. So let's say half of those come back for the second dose. Let's say the other half have heard the side effects, the heart condition, the blood clotting, and are not going to come back for the second dose. So we got 54.6% vaccinated. Half of that 11% first dosers, let's say 5.5%. You combine that with the 29.2, and what do we have? Is that 89.3? Let's take the CDC projection out, though. Let's don't assume that we have 3 times the asymptomatic, that were never tested. Let's just use the verified 3.8 million. Well, that would bring that down to 9.7%. So if we add the vaccinated, we add half of the first dosers. I'm leading on the conservative side there. And then we add that 9.7% from those that have recovered. We're at 69.8%. Fauci stated 70% herd immunity. But, you know, he's changed the science some. You did hear him say there's 70, but he's been known to go as high as 80, 85% immunity is needed. Fauci talking about less than half of the eligible people, and 45 of California's 58 counties have actually been fully vaccinated. Marin and Alpine rank at the top, 69%. Down at the bottom, Less than 25% of the folks vaccinated. Lassen County, Mariposa, and Kings County. Only two California counties, they at the office of they, Cal Matters, are saying, have reached herd immunity. No, that can't be true because they're only just factoring in the vaccinated. They're not. That's a lie. Obviously, they aren't factoring in those already with antibodies due to having the virus and recovering. CalMatter analysis of state vaccination data found that in nine counties, less than a third of residents ages 16 and over were fully vaccinated as of last week. In 45 of those 58 counties, less than half were vaccinated. They're not following the concept of herd immunity the way that they was explained over the last 455 days. Just under 50% of California's 16 and older have been fully vaccinated. 54.6%, and 11% have gotten one dose, according to state data. Now here in the Central Valley, we got a big old range of vaccination rates. Kings County's at 25% fully vaccinated. Here in Fresno, we're closer to 40% right now. We go further south. Let's take some folks in Bakersfield. There are 33% of people 16 and over fully vaccinated. And the Kern County Public Health Department was stated here saying that a fear of side effects is a significant barrier. Well, yeah, because over 4,400 individuals have died from it. I think it was over 800,000 adverse reactions to this. A lack of transportation is also being used as a reason why. That is so 2.5 months ago. L.A. has about 45% of their population fully vaccinated as of last week. The more who are eligible, said Dr. Gilly Galley up in Sacramento, the better chances we have to reach that critical number, whether it be 70 or 75%. He's not even factoring in those that have already had it. See, it's one scam after another. Yes, adults are refusing over safety concerns. So what do you do? Let's go for the kids, man. You got to go for the kids. You got to get the kids in, right? Are we going to make that 4th of July deadline?
The CDC says almost 64% of U.S. adults have had at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, as the Biden administration pushes to get that number to 70% by July 4th.
We have always held that July 4th is not the end of it. We want to reach 70% of the adult population by the 4th of July. I believe we can. I hope we will. And if we don't, we're going to continue to keep pushing.
Why are they not factoring in those that already have the antibodies? How many, remember being all the fear? How many cases of COVID that we had, right? Cases. Well, every one of those cases is a number toward herd immunity. And they're not factoring it in. Really, it's not. It's par of the course. You got Fauci whining to Chelsea Clinton that people are mean to me. He said he's been he's lashing out. You know why he got all upset? Because Senator Rand Paul basically smoked him out during that testimony, and accused him of perjury. Which, hey, if it turns out as it's looking like it's going to turn out. That they, he did have involvement, sent money through a third party to that Wuhan Institute. His 3,000 pages of emails confirming he's far from that guy that everybody's trying to portray him as. You know, he's playing the victim card. That's what the cultural Marxists do, man. That's a run game. They go play the victim card. Anyhow, Chelsea Clinton, she has a podcast, and she was interviewing him. He was whining about how people been so mean. He said the phenomenal amount of hostility I face is astounding. The unfairness. There he is on with Chelsea Clinton whining. But they're not going to stop, as we talked about yesterday and as we talked about a month ago and 6 months ago. They're not going to give up this power. They've come too far. They love what they have going on right now. Here's a doctor, University of California, San Francisco. Most of these are not going away, these infections. They're starting to rise. They're now talking about all the variants that are out there, these virus variants.
Fortunately for us, the vaccines that we have available are good against the B.1.1.7, a little bit of a diminution, but not much against the 617 or the Delta. So for goodness sakes, we have the tools in our hand to prevent any difficulties from occurring in September. And that's the reason why we're out there really pushing and beating the bushes and trying to get people to understand why it's so important for them to get vaccinated, not only for themselves and their own protection, for their family, but also they don't want to be a vehicle for the spread of the virus. You want to be a dead end for the virus. And that's what we're trying to get across.
You know, there's many that have antibodies that don't even know. You never even knew that you had COVID. When did it arrive? Well, it could have been here November, December.
From Mississippi to Massachusetts, a new government report finds that COVID-19 was already infecting people in at least five U.S. states before the world knew much about the deadly outbreak in China. The findings published by the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases also suggest early cases in the U.S. were sporadic.
Yeah, early cases. Every one of those is one case toward herd immunity. Dr. Victor Davis Hanson on this show, this was early on. This was back in March of 2020.
Every day for all of November, December, January, I was in an elevator three or four times a day with, I would say, 15 Chinese nationals. And they were coming right in from the United States, the SFO.
Well, I guess China. So. Now, did you get any ailments in December, January, February?
I don't want to be alarmist, but I got one of the worst flus I've ever had. And it got so bad that I got some blood work and my white blood count went down way low, and I got anemic and I couldn't shake it. And then my wife has never had a flu that she remembers, never once, never had a flu shot. And she was in bed for 5 days with a high temperature, and then she had this hacking dry cough for 3 weeks. And this was in January.
You're describing what, Agent Squires? We're right here. We're raising our hands. Everything you're saying, that was us in January.
I was the sickest I'd ever been. Maybe I did just have the bad flu. I haven't gone in and taken an antibody test, but I've never had the chest rumble for a month and a half. And that's exactly what I had. High fever, all of that, right?
But there certainly is a possibility that there will be the emergence a variant that would elude the protection of a vaccine.
J. Rod Fauci said if you've gone and gotten your vaccine, had a few days of being sick and you were worried and then you've came out. And there are millions of people who've had the vaccine and have not had adverse reactions. If you want to get the vaccine, it's your right as an American. It's also your right as an American to say, no, I'm not going to take it. And when I hear him saying it's not going to go away and all these other variants, how many vaccines are you willing to ingest into you, right? Because listen to this.
It is time to say it out loud. The virus behind the COVID-19 pandemic is not going away. Among humans, global herd immunity, once promoted as a singular solution, is unreachable. Most countries simply don't have enough vaccines to go around, and even the lucky few with an ample supply, too many people are refusing to get the shot. As a result, the world will not reach the point where enough people are immune to stop the virus's spread before the emergence of dangerous variants. It might be 2020 all over again.
2020 all over again? Nah, don't think so. CDC directors begging parents to talk with young teens about getting vaccinated at the same time that her very own organization, the CDC, is going to be holding an emergency meeting about the heart condition of teenagers, especially teenage boys that are taking the vaccine. So they're holding an emergency meeting while the director is saying, yeah, keep doing what we're about to hold 2 days from now, an emergency meeting on. And this is not my opinion. I'm the messenger of this opinion. This opinion comes from Johns Hopkins University, medical professors at UCLA, Harvard, Texas A&M. These doctors are challenging the CDC claim that COVID kills healthy kids. Dr. Marty Makary, he's with Johns Hopkins University. He said, quote, I am not aware of a single healthy child in the United States who has died of COVID to date. He said there are some that have had comorbidities. Healthy young children? He's saying, show us the evidence. Back up your claim that healthy young children can die from COVID. Man, I tell you, we got them fighting on both sides. What does Donald Trump Jr. think who should run if his dad decides not to? Oh, it's not Mike Pence. I'll share it next along with audio of the Houston Fox reporter who basically quit live on the air. I'll play that for you next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Donald Trump Jr. said he would pick Florida Governor Ron DeSantis as the 2024 Republican nominee for president if his dad did not run.
I would certainly consider Ron. I was at the beginning of Ron. I was the first one to endorse him when he came out as a congressman that a lot of people didn't know, and my endorsement helped him tremendously, and I know him very well. He's a great guy.
All right. We'll see how it all works itself out, right? I guess that's what I'll have to do. But the fact Donald Trump Jr., I don't think the president's son goes out and says anything unless it's kind of been discussed in the circle, especially something that big. If dad doesn't run, he should be the nominee. Should we read into that? Nah, I'm not going to. You can't predict Donald J. Trump, can you? Her name is Ivory Hecker is her name. She's a Fox 26 Houston reporter. And we've all heard of Project Veritas. They busted people all over the place. The Planned Parenthood for their baby selling parts, you know, and they sell baby parts online. Busted a lot of folks. And I was kind of looking forward to this one, this whistleblower, about how Fox TV there in Houston had muzzled her. Keep information from viewers. And before I let you hear what she kind of came out and talked about, this was her, we'll say her last reporter hit, right? She was out doing a lot of things, something about air conditionings or heat or something. She basically quit on the air. Listen.
Fox 26 reporter Ivory Hecker is live in Montgomery County to take a look at that aspect.
Thanks, guys. That's right. Before we get to that story, I want to let you, the viewers, know that Fox Corp has been muzzling me to keep certain information from you, the viewers. And from what I'm gathering, I am not the only reporter being subjected to this. I am going to be releasing some recordings about what goes on behind the scenes at Fox because it applies to you, the viewers. I found a nonprofit journalism group called Project Veritas. It's going to help put that out tomorrow, so tune into them. But as for this heat wave across Texas, you can see what it's doing to AC units.
Yeah, air conditioning units. I hope you'll be able to pay your air conditioning bills. She's suspended. They said get all your stuff and get on moving after that right there. She revealed that the assistant news director would not allow her to report on a Bitcoin story. Said the piece is irrelevant for their poor African-American audience. They pressured her to cease and desist posting about hydroxychloroquine. Now, that should be exposed, but we knew they did that everywhere. I mean, they ceased and desisted the president of the United States with that. So it doesn't surprise me that a local TV reporter, she says, and this is her quote, ready? It's all about what our CEO reads. It's about what our general manager reads. So what she's saying is my CEO and my general manager tell me what I need to do. I hate to say to her that that's called business in America. The boss, the CEO, says things, and everything that a CEO makes, you got some of the people love it, some of the people just can't stand the decision, and some of the people go, whatever, next, I'm still getting my paycheck, hush. But she did stand up, and yeah, she should have been able to post about hydroxychloroquine, but the fact that I was expecting a lot more. And it was kind of, if you're gonna go out like that and make a big deal, what you're going to then release to the public better be like, oh my word, you're kidding me. They did? And that wasn't the sensation from that story. Remember the TV reporter that, I don't know, she was up like in Fargo, somewhere way up north, and she was talking about, she quit on the air and said, and I'm quitting my job and I'm going into the marijuana industry. She quit live on a TV newscast. I think she even threw out the name of her new business, and it didn't work out for her. Anyhow, I had this story here about these chicken wings. I remember I did it on the air about 6 weeks ago on the show. I said I saw a pack of 10 full chicken wings for almost $18. And this liberal listener who emails the show, he emailed after that show, no way, quit lying, no way. And when I was at the store, I just happened to snap a picture of those chicken wings. I think I even sent it to Squires. I know I sent it to my mom. I was like, can you believe chicken wings are this much? So I had that picture, and I got to send it to the guy. I didn't hear back, but I proved him wrong. A restaurant owner from Buffalo, because that's where all chicken wings come from, he says that the prices are going up because of a national labor shortage. He said his suppliers went up 99%. He said they're having trouble retaining and recruiting employees. He says they can't process the birds fast enough. They have to feed them more. The feed costs have gone up. The birds are getting bigger. They can't process. They can't get them out. It's all part of the $1.9 trillion stimulus plan. You know, the governor pays them more to stay home. The one that was supported by Mayor Jerry Dyer of Fresno on the front page of the Washington Post. These are the details that are now coming out over that. This Ohio chicken restaurant said the price of wings are the highest they've ever seen in 33 years in the industry. But see, restaurants struggling to staff. They're having to do and say, I saw one restaurant's giving away free iPhones, giving away bonuses. The state of Maine is going to add money onto it as well. Bank of America said the job market will recover by early 2022. See, that's because they put all these blocks in the way. It's a man-made lockdown.
It is time to say it out loud. The virus behind the COVID-19 pandemic is not going away. Among humans, global herd immunity, once promoted as a singular solution, is unreachable. Most countries simply don't have enough vaccines to go around, and even the lucky few with an ample supply, too many people are refusing to get the shot. As a result, the world will not reach the point where enough people are immune to stop the virus's spread before the emergence of dangerous variants. Might be 2020 all over again.
Absolutely not. We're going to talk with the news editor, WorldNet Daily, Mr. Art Moore. He's coming up next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
I don't know if I'm more excited to talk to Mr. Art Moore because of all his writings I read on WorldNet Daily, or the fact that he was in sports, public relations assistant for the Mariners and a sports correspondent for Associated Press. Mr. Moore, welcome. Glad you're here. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Trevor. Good to be with you.
Now, were you one of these, like myself, that grew up as a boy and then a teenager and then realized that even the high school curveball was smoking you and your dreams died? Did you want to be a baseball player?
Oh, absolutely. But I think they died at about maybe age 12.
The Colt League curveball had you frozen. But what an opportunity. What years were you there with the Mariners doing PR?
So actually, that was early on while I was in college. You know, it was not a full-time thing, but I pretty much was full-time during the season. And it was 78 to 83.
Okay, that was their real early uniform look. I'm seeing that uniform. That was the pre-Griffey time period as well. Didn't they have the golden circle hats in a time period, the circle hats, right?
Yeah, it was, people called it the pitchfork. You know, they had the old, Sea Mariner logo there.
Well, You've seen it all from the Mariners working with AP, and then you served 10 years in Eastern Europe with a Christian organization. What countries were you in there?
Yeah, so we were based in Vienna, Austria, and this was during the time of the Iron Curtain, 1980s, and we were traveling in and out of the East Bloc countries and the Soviet Union, working with Christians there, providing them with literature and Bibles. And so then after the Berlin Wall came down, living in Albania for a time, Albania, you know, was the most severely restricted country in the East Bloc, where they completely banned religion in 1967.
But I was going to say, you were kind of covert, weren't you? You had to be undercover. You couldn't be like, hey, I'm a pastor. Here, have a Bible.
That was the case, certainly, when we were in the 1980s, before 89, before the wall came down, we were certainly covert. And then after that, living in Albania, we were able to be open. But the country was a complete disaster after 50 years of severe communism.
Was all the stories of Levi's being on the black market and costing so much, were all that true, that American products were sold on the black market?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, it's interesting, you know, in the 80s, in Romania, what served as currency there, more valuable than Romanian currency, was Kent cigarettes, for some reason. And you could buy anything with Kent cigarettes.
Well, you could even say, hey, here, come have a Kent cigarette and let's read Psalms together, right? The guy, okay, I won't say anything. Give me a Kent cigarette. Well, what an exciting life. And now we're back dealing with even almost at times the same level and sometimes more oppressive government inside the United States. I'm just blown away, Mr. Moore, about over these last, I'm still saying 455 days, even though Governor Newsom said we opened up yesterday. No, we still have a two-tier society being created here. But what's the deal with all these doctors being cut out? You wrote about the feds demonizing COVID treatments to promote this vaccine. And I was just talking about how John Hopkins and UCLA and Harvard are now going to the CDC saying, where's the proof that healthy kids are dying from this? You wrote a great article about this, and share some of what you shared there at World Nut Daily about Dr. McCullough, you know, testifying with the Senate and all of that. Staggering.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I mean, one is he's warning about these vaccines, and he's not saying, you know, that you shouldn't. Let me just be clear. For a long time, he was saying each individual should decide for themselves according to their own, you know, particular health concerns. Pregnant women were not part of the vaccine trials. They should be really careful about that. Probably not. But then more recently, he's been observing these different studies, some come out of different countries, and they're verified here, like out of Israel recently, this problem with heart inflammation, and that young men are 25 times more likely to suffer from this myocarditis, heart inflammation. So it's lots of cautions. At the same time, he's saying, look, for the past year, we've known that there are good, reliable treatments for COVID. Hydroxychloroquine, which is a drug that's been treating malaria, rheumatoid arthritis.
I'm sorry, you brought hydroxychloroquine up in California. We have to terminate this phone call. We cannot discuss that.
You know, that's the truth.
I know.
It's bizarre because a year ago I started talking to Dr. Stephen Smith. He's also a researcher, and he works with COVID patients. He's in New Jersey. He actually knows Anthony Fauci very well. In fact, Dr. Stephen Smith's father was a guru. He was seen by Fauci as a kind of godfather of you know, the study of infectious diseases, and learned under Stephen Smith's father. So Stephen Smith knows Fauci really well. And he's saying this whole thing has been totally politicized, because here is Stephen Smith effectively treating these patients with hydroxychloroquine, this common, cheap drug, while at the same time, Fauci is demonizing it. And a lot of this, I mean, you have to wonder how much of it, of course, has to do with financial incentives. You know, the vaccines are very lucrative, and there's expensive drugs like remdesivir that were touted for a time, and now the WHO says, you know, you shouldn't use that drug. But there's a financial aspect of it. But then you have to wonder how much of it is because President Trump, a year ago, he goes on and says, you know, there's this drug, you know, hydroxychloroquine, and it seems to work pretty well. We've used it for a long time on other illnesses, and it might work. And immediately the media says, wow, he's you know, peddling some kind of snake oil, and this is crazy.
And then they'll bring up and make a fake lie about it, fake news, and that you also said drink bleach. So then they'll say he's saying drink bleach and take hydrochloroquine. You know, they mix it all in together. Boy, I tell you what, they're slick with their propaganda. But the guy you're quoting in your article, Dr. Peter McCullough, he's internal medicine at Baylor Medical Center in Dallas. He said he's seen things in the last year that he cannot explain as a doctor. And Mr. Moore, I had Dr. Ron Paul on a few weeks ago, and he said his first month out of medical school, he knew that if you've had the virus, you have the antibodies. I mean, we have guys that know what they're talking about just being silenced. It's truly scary, because this is our health. This isn't about taxes. This is about our health.
No, it really is. And this is the thing, is that you have some people who are very measured, like Dr. Harvey Risch. He is a professor of medicine at Yale, okay, Yale School of Medicine. And he has said over the past year several times, many, many people have died needlessly. And he's put out figures there, estimates, you know, who knows, hundreds of thousands of people may have died needlessly because the government has been demonizing these drugs that work, and not just here in this country, but around the world. And I'll tell you, it may be more than this, but the number I last saw in terms of peer-reviewed studies that indicate the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine is 219. That's peer-reviewed studies. There's more studies, and also there's this other drug called ivermectin has worked very well. Ivermectin has been used often in veterinary medicine, but it has this effect of attaching to this nasty spike protein that is the cause of COVID-19, and it prevents it from entering the cell. So scientists know how it works, and they know that it works. And lots of people have used it around the world to great effect. And there, for that drug, are 54 peer-reviewed studies that show its effectiveness. And yet, in the mainstream, if you Google these drugs, immediately this panel comes up that says, you know, the FDA says, or you know, Google says, you know, this is not effective, or maybe dangerous. And actually, there's been no indication that these drugs are dangerous. And in fact, the opposite, they've helped people and saved lives. I mean, you may have even heard of some people, Democrat lawmakers, a couple of them I can think about, who in the last year had to admit that, yeah, this drug that Trump was promoting, it saved my life.
Oh, yeah. And those drugs, I assume, correct, Mr. Moore, they've been tested, FDA approved. They've been around for quite a while.
Yeah, that's the thing is that the FDA definitely has approved them for, you know, these other treatments like, you know, with hydroxychloroquine, RA, and lupus, and malaria, for that matter. And you know, certainly you have to, verify that they're safe for other diseases and indications, but we've seen with these studies that they are safe, and some of the, you know, the media has cited certain studies, like there was one in The Lancet, which is the prestigious British journal, this could be dangerous and it wasn't effective. And then not long after that, like I think three of the four researchers in that study, they had to sheepishly admit, well, actually, it was a very low quality study, and we were wrong. But the media doesn't report that part of it.
No, and they won't report what you wrote about these doctors, Dr. McCullough in particular. You brought it up just a moment ago about pregnant women were excluded from the trials, mm-hmm. the emergency trials. Yeah. But we just have now University of California backtracking. They said the vaccine would be mandatory once the FDA approved it. Now they're saying for university students in California to go back in the fall that even though it's still emergency, they're going to be mandatory with it. So you got a 20, 21-year-old pregnant college student who's wants to go back to class but has to take a vaccination mandatory for something that her condition wasn't even a part of the clinical trials. I mean, how do you force somebody to do that?
Yeah, and that's the thing is that I think a lot of people don't realize, I would guess the majority of people don't really understand that these vaccines have been approved with emergency use authorization. So the trials are ongoing, and I bet people would be really surprised to know that Pfizer, for example, the Pfizer vaccine, the trials are not scheduled to end until January 31st, 2023, not 2022, 2023.
And that's normal procedure for drugs. That's why this is a rush, an emergency rush. And as I say on this show, Mr. Moore, is that it's your right as an American. If you feel at risk and you want to go take the vaccine, go get it. But it should also be those that, you know, I don't want to raise my hand and volunteer for an emergency experimental vaccine. And that's my right as well. But boy, if you feel one side of this, poor old U.S. Senator Ron Johnson,
you know, YouTube bans him for him talking about early treatments of COVID. It's all around the place. Well, Art Moore, WorldNet Daily, of course. Where else, anywhere else you'd like to point our listeners to follow you, social media, you know, places you might get purged from?
You can, well, for now, you can go to Twitter and you can type in my name. Yeah, no, you're right. It's amazing the censorship that's going on. And you mentioned Ron Johnson. I mean, all he did was he uploaded videos that were about people talking about these treatments and suggesting that these treatments might work. And then there was also one that got him in trouble. It was just videos of a Senate committee hearing that he was presiding over. It's a Senate committee hearing. And they're hearing testimony not just from people like Peter McCullough, who are saying, I think this works, but also from people the Democrats brought, who said, you guys are all nutty conspiracy theorists. But even that, we can't have that on YouTube.
But the Ayatollah still has his freedom on YouTube. We're balanced. Don't worry. We're balanced.
Yeah. And by the way, I do follow the Ayatollah on Twitter just to know what he's saying. And he is occasionally talking about the destruction of Israel, but
you follow okay. Putin? Do you follow Putin? Is he on there?
He probably is. I probably should follow him. Yeah.
Well, you got to follow them all. Hey, we'll follow you, Mr. Moore. Thank you for your time, sir, and for all your work with baseball and Eastern Europe, and now fighting this battle. Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Hey, my pleasure, Tripp.
Hey, that's good talking right there, man. I'll tell you that much. All right, hey, pandemic. Money? Fraud? Oh, it pays off. How much was the illegal payout? I'll tell you next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Here's one way to look at Wednesday. This time tomorrow, we'll be saying this time tomorrow, the weekend's almost here. Do you see how quick that the weekend's almost here this time tomorrow? We'll be saying this time tomorrow, the weekend is right around the corner. Unemployment fraud. We heard of inmates in California making bank while sitting in there, defrauding the government off stimulus money for the man-made lockdown. You had foreign crime syndicates, you know, from China and Russia involved in this. Total damage, drum roll please, $400 billion lost to fraud. $400 billion lost to fraud. Now when we have a $28 trillion debt, $85,000 per citizen, $226,000 per taxpayer. $400 billion, that's just like the change on the side of your table, right? Yeah, but it's still $400 billion. Listen to Joe Biden snap at a CNN reporter after having a sit down with Putin.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm not confident he changed behavior. What do you do all the time? So when did I say I was confident?
I said
let's get it straight. I said what will change their behavior is if the rest of the world reacts to them and it diminishes their standing in the world. I'm not confident of anything. I'm just stating the fact.
But given his past behavior has not changed, and in that press conference, after sitting down with you for several hours, he denied any involvement in cyber attacks. He downplayed human rights abuses. He even refused to say Alexei Navalny's name. So how does that account to a constructive meeting as President Putin?
You don't understand that you're in your own business.
Is there summit with China?
Kind of hard to hear. Biden said, hey, if you don't understand that, you're in the wrong business. I mean, snapping at reporters like that. Had he not had lunch yet? Was his blood sugar off? Come on, man. Joe Biden, Vladimir Putin referred to Black Lives Matter when he was trying to deflect some of those human rights questions as they all got together in Geneva. But you know the scariest thing today that I've heard that, and I'm going to say quite possibly that you've also heard. Ladies and gentlemen, it is compliments of Chuck Todd while he had Fauci on NBC.
It is time to say it out loud. The virus behind the COVID-19 pandemic is not going away. Among humans, global herd immunity, once promoted as a singular solution, is unreachable. Most countries simply don't have enough vaccines to go around, and even the lucky few with an ample supply, too many people are refusing to get the shot. As a result, the world will not reach the point where enough people are immune to stop the virus's spread before the emergence of dangerous variants. It might be 2020 all over again.
You say 2020 all over again?
People aren't regulated.
Oh, my. Don't even say that, right? Thanks, Agent Squires. God willing, we'll do it again tomorrow, 3 o'clock. John Girardi on the radio next. Good evening.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.